All right, Romans 3:26. Let's open up there. Let's read this, and then we'll open in prayer. Verse 26 says, "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that is Christ, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment. We pray for each member here that we might receive it with a ready mind and that we search the scriptures to see whether these things be so. We pray for the body universal, for those who may have wanted to be here but couldn't make it, and for those who have no concern at all. We just pray again that as we go forward, our understanding would be enlightened and that the time might be for your glory. And we just say thank you in advance. Through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, we've been missing a few lessons, but we're going to try to get down to 31. And in particular, I think we will try to bring out verse 30, the importance of faith today, that God has set forth Christ to be a satisfying sacrifice. And the only way we have the benefits of that, the only way anybody has ever had the benefits of Christ's substitutional work was through faith. That's how it's accessed. That's how it's imputed to you. And that's how God prescribed it, is to be received by faith and not by any works. So let's start at 26 and see if we get down through here. Verse 26 says, "To declare, I say, at this time," this is Paul, and this is the dispensational nature of his message, that at this time, Paul could say that there is a prescribed way that God is justifying a man that wasn't available in the past. It wasn't made known in the past. That's how you can hear people that say that they feel like a man is justified by works, or that if they quote James, you see that faith without works is dead, which is not a, that's not even a salvation no issue anyway. But that's because they don't understand Romans 3 properly. And when Paul writes this, he says, "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And we looked at that last week, or a couple of weeks ago, that God has set forth Jesus Christ and his righteousness. If you notice in verse 25, it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare," what?
His righteousness
"for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness." Here it is. He says it again. "That he might be just to forgive those sins that were up unto the cross, that he might be just and the justifier," that is, to forgive those that follow after. And that's unto all. I think that is where you have that problem where people might say, that's good up until the time you get saved. But after that,
you
have to repent. Confess, right? But this is once for all, for those past and those to come. Verse 27 says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith." And we know that. Paul says that by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift of God to be received freely. as verse 32 says, that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The boasting is excluded. That is, you cannot hold no man at any time, past, present, or to come, will be able to hold up their performance to God and say, I should be in because of this. Only one man could say that his works were satisfying to God. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? That's the principle. The principle of works? No. Nay. But boasting is excluded by the principle or the law of faith. Therefore, 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
It's interesting. It's put forth as being a conclusion. In other words, you can't have your interpretation. This guy has his. It's a conclusion that we all have to come to from what's been revealed to us.
Well, that's, you notice that when he used the words, right, it is a conclusion. That's why he says, you know, Romans is it's a legal argument. Where Paul is giving you, he says, therefore, if you ask yourself, he's going back, compiling the evidence against you or against any man that feels that he is justified by works. He's compiling the evidence against you. If you run into a situation where you're talking to another person that's under the label of a believer and they don't follow the argument, that's how you lose them, is somewhere in that argument, they're not keeping up with the evidence against them. You notice in chapter 1, you're guilty. Chapter 2, you're guilty. Chapter 3, you're guilty. And then he introduces how you can be not guilty. And it has nothing to do with you and your performance. That's why 28, he says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know, this when Paul talks about being just, but Christ is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, this is obviously for us, since I'm writing these things on the board, people can't see this. But we always, when we talk about the two issues, between, you got the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And we know that God is using believers to reconcile these things to himself. Those two issues always come up. It's the repossession, and the other one is
repossession and reconciliation.
The two things that we cover, we talk about them all the time, is the repossession and how God is using the believers to accomplish that, is to reconcile heaven and earth to himself, and he's transforming the believers to the image of his son, that they might be the ones that worship and serve him in these new realms. That's the only thing that's happening.
So when it talks about that he's forming the new man, the body of Christ, of which he is the head. So when it talks about, I think it's in Ephesians where it says about us growing up into him, the head, that's the thinking, that's the mind of Christ. So is it referring to the intake of that gold, silver, precious stones, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that creates that image, that builds that image in us. Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I'm drawing the correct connection.
If you think about the Son and what his responsibility was to the Father, then just implant yourself there. Okay, that's when he says that he might be just and the justifier is, you've heard this, that is, justification is the definition. What's your definition of justification? I know, I put you on the spot. That's,
I know. Just,
if you had, well, you get to fill this blank in. That's, whoops. You met somebody on the street and they say, Jenny, you go to class all the time. What does justify mean? What does justification mean? I know you're not going to tell them, ask Frank. You're not going to tell them that, are you? No.
No.
You're not going to have a... You want to help your wife out?
I mean, justifier is... One who makes someone just.
Makes someone just. Okay. That's great. Declare it righteous. Okay. To declare one righteous, which is.
Are we going back to image?
Just
makes you wiped away, clean slate.
Clean slate, okay. That's it. I like that. He said, makes you usable. Usable. There's none righteous, no, not one. They're all together
unprofitable.
So when Blake says it makes you usable, it makes you profitable now. Now it would be profitable for what?
His work.
For his work. Because what happens is the way he makes you profitable is he gives you that imputes that to you and then asks you to be who he made you. So then you have a choice whether you want to be a laborer with God or you just want to be a couch saint. You can do that. You know that, right? You can sit down after you get saved. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Now,
how do you know, though, when you're becoming a laborer, whether you're doing it out of your own flesh or
peace? How do you know when you're doing it? How do you know you're being transformed, or if you're just pretending?
Right.
Well, you may could be very, you could be.
You're asking about where the motivation is.
Yeah, you could be very motivated to do something and
do it.
Or you know what to do. And then you don't
it's
know,
like,
is it God doing it?
Or
is
it,
so are you asking like an intellectual pursuit versus...
Are you being driven by the flesh or are you being driven by the spirit, I guess?
Yeah.
That's a...
How do you know?
That's a good question, and this is the answer. If you don't know that, I can't tell you that. Now, Paul would say this. For example, he would say that I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So he knew, as when in Romans, when he says, Corinthians, where he said, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And the lives that we henceforth live, we should not live unto ourselves, but to him that died and rose again. Then I'll say this. When you take that doctrine, when you're making your decisions based on the doctrine that you read, then you know that you're at least you're operating in faith, because you know that's what he says. Now,
that's a great question.
It is. Now, here's the deal. 1 Corinthians. So if it's not grace motivated, is we'll read these verses, and this is where the answer is. 1 Corinthians.
So where do we start?
1 Corinthians. We're going to start at verse 7. Okay, we'll start at verse 7. 6. Okay. Last time. 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Are you in that every man?
Mm-hmm.
Woman, man. Your work will be made manifest. When? For the day shall declare it. Because it, what is it?
Your
right. Your work shall be manifest. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 20. For again, 20 and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Now, to answer your question is, when you get those categories of those six things, which is, it's the minister's labor. And then he breaks those things down to some precious things and some natural things, the wood, hay, and stubble. Spiritual things or fleshly things. And God says the day is going to declare
your motivation.
Not just your motivation, your thoughts, your intent, and even, okay, verse.
So you could have a good intent, but do it with ignorance.
Or you can have, like Joseph, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That doesn't mean that what you do won't benefit another person. It may not benefit you any. Because that's why I'm glad where God is the one who discerns the thoughts and intents of a man's heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said it may not benefit you, but it may benefit someone else. But if that someone else is a member of the body and we're all connected, so it does benefit us because we're...
I didn't say that. I said it may benefit someone else, but not her. As the person who is giving out, it may not be accounted as fruit to her account, even though it could be fruitful, but the way that it's done, it won't benefit her.
I'm just talking about the interconnectivity of the body of Christ.
Okay. Now watch this. 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is found, required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what?
The doctrine that was delivered by Paul.
To the doctrine. But with me, this is Paul, it is a, and this should be our attitude, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of man's judgment. Yea, I
judge
not mine own self. What? For I know
nothing.
I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby, there's a word, Blake,
justified.
I can't say, look, Paul is telling you that I can't even say what I'm doing. That's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, he says this. Yet am I not hereby justified. Just because he says what I'm doing is profitable, that doesn't mean that the Lord is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He has yet to be evaluated. He says, I judge nothing, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, because he that judges me is the Lord, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest what you've been thinking all along. And then you get your pat on the back. And these, and Paul, he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to what? Think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Or what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now the principle is the judgment seat of Christ is going to take care of all your questions. And for example,
in the meantime,
how many believers, they go week in, week out. From the outward appearance, you would say, that's a faithful brother, faithful sister. Lord got a reward for them. Mm-hmm. But you don't know their thoughts and intents while they're going. You don't know the edification process that's built up in them, if it's there at all. There's saints that go for years
So it almost seems like the level of faith that you have versus what you do in the world. You know?
Say it again.
Versus you doing stuff, works. It just seems like you wouldn't be judged on works. Because it's always been...
See, this is where...
This is like a no-works...
You in the no-work zone. This is where... See, don't confuse the salvation with the service.
We don't work for our salvation, we work out of our salvation.
Okay,
Where he distinguished about the laborer is worthy of his hire, that it's not to get there, but once we're there, what are we going to do with it? We have the freedom to do or not do with it. And but the more that this doctrine is built up inside of us, that's that conformity to the image that affects the choices and decisions and things that we do, because we put on the mind of Christ.
You have to remember the position that God has placed you in. As before, as being unprofitable before, now where he tells you that by the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can give a performance list to God of your qualifications. When I say qualification, that is, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I go to church Sunday. Whatever your list is, a performance that you want to hold up that makes you acceptable to God. And the law, the word for law, well, in Greek is nomos. You know what that where we get our word, where we get this word from? What word we get from that? Is number. Like to enumerate something. That is you arguing your case. Look, that's why when he says the Ten Commandments is just a summary of... It's a summary of the performance demanded. It's not negotiable with God. He demands the honor. He demands that honor, that worship, and that reverence. And he summarizes it in the Ten Commandments. So he lists those. He lists the righteousness of God. He lists the when he lists the way you can be justified in the law. He lists how you can be profitable in the law. And he says, can you do it? It's not the man that hears these things. It's the one that doeth those things. It's not the hearers of the law that are justified in his sight, but the doers. And when he...
unrighteous.
So there's none that I could justify. There's none that I could use. They are all unprofitable. They're all gone out of the way. Well, what do we do? That's what Paul says in 3. We have before concluded that they're all guilty. The list was given to shut your mouth. Listen, excuse me. When you apply for a job, the first thing you look at is what?
What is the pay?
what the rules are, what the
qualifications. What are
the qualifications. That's the first thing you look at. Am I qualified for this position? That's what. So they give you a list of things. And some of those jobs, they said, we're looking for someone highly qualified. And when you see that, you keep scrolling, don't you? Because you know I don't meet the requirements. So God, he gives a list. He says, I'm looking for someone highly qualified. How qualified? He says, I tell you what, I'll give you a summary of the job in 10. And you read the first one, you like. The first one, he might say, you need a doctorate. Oh, I'm done. If you have a high school diploma and they want a, the first thing is a doctorate, stop looking.
Yeah.
Right?
You're disqualified to me.
So God says, the first thing is, I need you to love me more than anything else. Do we need to go further? No. End of that list. I don't even need to go through the rest. But just in case you're vain enough and self-confident, self-deluded enough to keep going, then he goes down through the rest of them. Just in case. And then he reminds you, if you miss even one, don't worry about the rest.
You're done.
Some folks back there.
That's why if you can get through, if you can hurdle your way through 1, 2, and 3, you're a better man than most.
Right. And if anything, he gets you on number 10.
He gets you on number 1.
I know.
That's right. So you realize that the list is not for you. It's not for you to do. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. It can't make you profitable to God. It can, but it can't do it with you.
It has no power in and of itself.
So then, why do some people call you if you think this way? Why do some people call you anti-Normian?
Because, you know what? And that's coming up. Where, you know what? I'll tell you, hold that thought. Antinomian means that you don't even have a law. Is that you don't need any, like Paul would say this, that I'm not without law. Not without law to Christ. See, you can have requirements that keep you in line, but you only need to be kept in line. Why?
Because you don't have the mind of Christ.
If you only need to be kept in line if you want to go out of line. That's the only way I can. Is, I'll say this. It never occurs to people, and we had this conversation, Johnny, is this. When a man gets saved, do you mean to tell me that I don't have, you know what? 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6. 6:10. 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous, Blake, unrighteous, synonym? Synonym, unrighteous?
Unprofitable.
Okay, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. How many is that? Yes. Yes. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are what?
Washed.
Ye are
sanctified.
Ye are
justified. And not just that, but
in
the name of the Lord and
by the
Spirit of our God.
See, that's authoritative.
So,
and authentic.
As two witnesses.
To what? Yeah. Right. And all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not. Wait a minute. Okay, Johnny. All things are what?
Lawful.
What is that? What does it mean? All things are lawful.
Allowed.
You know why I got pulled over today? Driving is lawful for me. But driving over the speed limit is not expedient. But all things, this is, if there were no sign out there, if there was no sign,
just drive how fast you want to drive.
But if I see other cars out there and I'm shooting in and out of traffic, it's lawful for me to do that. I'm permitted to do that. But it's not expedient. It's not profitable for me to do that. Chances are it's not going to get me to where I want to go safely. So when Paul is writing this, he gives you 10 things that were dishonorable as believers. That was you. That was your title. He said, and such were some of you. But now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. And he says, all things are lawful for me.
Because I'm not under the law.
He's telling you the same 10 things you just read are not, hear me well, those are what? You can do those things, but they're not expedient. Oh, right. They're not expedient. They're not profitable. For what?
Service. Worship and service.
What's the...
For images.
Yes. It's not profitable for you
as the image bearer
to do those things from here, because look, his whole goal is for you to grow up into him.
Then would the path or the whatever works, labor leading up to that, is that what gets you the gold, whatever, and then anything that doesn't build you up to his image, then that's the wood, hay, and stubble. So it's not necessarily go knock on this door, go talk to this person. It's about becoming that.
It's your intake of the nourishment and application and giving yourself to it. That's what grows you.
Which I think is encapsulated in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which works effectually, which effectually work in you that believe.
There you go.
And you also have like millions of decisions you make from here to, you know, when the ride's over. So
that's right. So you're right. Yeah. So in Romans, that's when Paul gets, when he gets through up to 12, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you, justified person, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God."
Prove it by the image.
That's how. So all things are lawful for me, but to expedite means to take it from here to here. I want to go from a child or babe to a man in Christ. I want to go from carnal to spiritual. What? What's the grading scale?
Whether you still a baby or not.
that's the purpose. When you take the doctrine in, that's what the design of the doctrine is that you grow up into him, unto the head in all things. That's okay. Ephesians, you got me? Ephesians 4. Verse 15, he says, "Paul, speaking the truth in love, may grow up
into him
in all things." Now, I'm sure you all don't remember this, since you did remember the justification. No judging zone, right? I'm saying that with a smile on my face. Not putting the difference between in all things and all things. That's it. You can't progress in all things unless you are aware of all things.
So all things is doctrinal, in all things is practical, or the application of God.
That's so. Now, Paul, that's why in verse, notice he says, till we all come, he gave apostles, prophets, he gave the doctrinal gifts that you could advance. He gave the doctrinal gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that you could progress
to a perfect man.
Practically, right. So, and notice he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that's all things, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, in all things, unity of the faith, all things, knowledge, Son of God, all things, perfect man, in all things, measure, stature, fullness of Christ, in all things, that we henceforth be no more children. Notice the scale? No more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a lot, isn't it?
So doctrine is extremely important.
You cannot do it without doctrine.
Yeah.
You know,
see that why we
the Lord told me.
Oh,
yes. This is the way we're doing it for real.
We flounder today as a body because
we don't know the doctrine.
No, there's very few people that are functioning in the effectual measure of.
Right.
Watch this. You ever read? I know you read this. You'll read something and you'll see this terminology. But yeah, I guess we won't be getting through with.
This is more important.
You'll see this term. Yes. You'll see I don't know why I'm writing it. Okay, you're in Ephesians. Just flip back to chapter 4 or 4:1. 4:7. I tell you what, 4:3. Okay.
I don't have an eraser on this.
4:1, I'm sorry. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your new position. That's the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why is Paul asking that of the Ephesians, where he's asking them to walk worthy of their vocation?
Why is he asking?
And then he says, look, in the next verse, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Well, isn't the difference between knowledge
puffeth
up and charity edifies?
Why? Okay, right. So why? He's making that appeal because that's who you are. That's the position. You remember in Romans it says, even Christ pleased not himself. Now, he says, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
I never saw it before.
That's
before I read over.
There it is. Now, I will say this. This is before the Apostle Paul has finished his ministry. So there's still. When he goes on, he says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave
gifts unto man.
He gave gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For. Look. He gave those gifts He gave those. Look, the gifts are what?
Doctrine.
No.
Or means of getting the doctrine out.
What are the gifts?
Teaching.
Edification.
He gave the gifts. He gave some
apostles,
prophets,
teachers,
evangelists,
preachers, teachers.
What are the gifts?
They're means.
Oh, I thought you were getting ready to say it.
They're measures. I'm just trying to think of another M word.
It's an M word.
It's what word?
Men. Or even more specifically, they're teaching offices, men in teaching positions. And he gave them for you and I, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to help you and I in this process. In our growing process. So, and he gave them those gifts where it was a measure. There's one body, one Lord, one faith. Look, it's all one goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
All one goal. One Lord, one faith, one. You notice those seven things, that's all dealing with the purpose. But there's different people involved in securing that purpose. There's different people involved in that process. And to every one of them, God gave a measure of doctrine.
Can you elaborate on that?
A measure. What is, you know, we read this all the time. What is faith comes by?
Hearing.
Hearing by what?
Word of God.
If I give you a measure of faith, I just gave you a measure of doctrine. That's your understanding. That's why he talks about in Ephesians the effectual measure of each part. That's why you quoted the verse is that you receive the word of God, you receive not as the word of men, which worketh what? Effectually in you
that believe. Okay. The power is in the doctrine. The power is in the word of God. And those are vehicles to deliver that.
Okay.
Okay, what about the second part? But unto every one of us.
That's it. But unto every one of us is given what? And that's what we're. How much, when Paul says, unto me, is this?
Grace.
What?
His apostle.
What? He said, unto me, is this what?
Grace.
Grace given. Unto me, is this grace? What is this grace?
The amount of grace that went to the apostles.
What is it?
The dispensation.
Yeah, all right. Unto
the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. That I might what? Preach. Preach what?
The gospel.
The
unsearchable riches of Christ.
Is that doctrine? That's the doctrine.
Yeah.
He said he didn't give it to him. But when I went up to Peter and John and James, I communicated unto them
that doctrine. That I preach among the Gentiles.
And when they saw.
And when they perceived.
When they saw.
The grace that was given unto me.
As was given unto.
Peter.
They gave to me. What?
Right hand of fellowship.
The measure of grace is what?
Doctrine.
1 Corinthians. chapter 9.
1 Corinthians 9.
I'm wrong. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the what?
Word of wisdom.
The another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. What is he telling you? He's telling you that every one of them has a measure of what?
Christ.
What is to do what?
Build each other up.
How?
By communicating that measure.
In whatever they were doing. Verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, just for time's sake, let me say this too. I'll say this. Maybe I give too much information, but that's only because I don't want you. I want to dumb down.
No, it's
the
good.
Time.
Because I think all of us go back and dig more because it makes us want more.
But sometimes that's a lot. But I do some of those things because I want to show you the interconnectivity of the things we go over. So we just, when you're reading this, he says, for by one Spirit are we all
baptized into one body.
See, if we never get down the baptism doctrine, the principle, when you read that, you won't get the gravity of what Paul is saying. And he says, we've been all made
to drink.
See, if you don't get the eating and drinking principle, you won't get the gravity of what he's telling you. Just like when Johnny says, if you don't get the measure of grace principle, then you'll have people today who
think you don't have all the grace, or they think
who think it's not available to them. Okay, skip down to verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members what? In particular. That means you have different functions. You have different what? A different
operations, different gifts,
measures
for the edification of
different measures. Yes, or which is what?
God.
There you go. Okay, now, ye are 27 are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some. Sound familiar? God has set some in the church first, apostles, secondarily,
prophets,
thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. 29. Are all apostles? Yes.
No.
No. Are all prophets? Yes. No. Are all teachers? Yes. No. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the
best gifts.
And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, he says that's the charity. You know what? That's his calling card.
Paul, when you say his?
No, that means whoever you are today. That's your calling card. Not this. That. Because charity will dumb you down.
No.
I'm saying charity will dumb. I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and Him crucified. I want to talk to you more about some things, but you can't take them right now. So I'll stick to the basic. Why? Paul said, because I love you not, God knoweth. And he says, oh, the more I love you, the less you love me. Eight. You know what? Skip that. That's kind of related but not related. Romans 12, and then we'll stop. Because we're way over. 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do you get transformed?
By the renewing of your mind.
How do you renew your mind?
Doctrine.
That you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the
grace.
Through the what?
Grace.
The grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the what? What do you think is going to follow that statement?
Doctrine.
Okay, let's see. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the
grace
that is
given to us.
What's next?
Prophecy.
Whether prophecy, let us
prophesy
according to the
proportion
of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned. He goes on and on with that. But you see, when he used that term, Johnny, when you see that, when you see those things, you know he's talking about doctrine.
So it's pretty much always just a measure of doctrine given to whatever, you know, that's
now,
faith you put in it.
What's the difference from those people back there? And then people up here, when I say up here, 2019, as opposed to back in Paul's day, where, and this is where 2 Timothy comes. comes into play, where before he gave them those doctrinal gifts,
we have a
supernaturally, spirits. He gave it to them
to profit withal.
Today, where
all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for proof.
For what?
For doctrine,
for what?
Proof, correction.
For what?
That the man of God.
No, the first. The first one, for what? For. The first one, you said all scripture is given for what?
Inspiration of God and is profitable.
For what?
For doctrine.
For what?
For reproof.
For what?
For correction.
Ah. So if you want to increase your measure of faith, how would you do it today?
Taking more doctrine.
Taking what?
More doctrine.
Oh. So So who's that up to?
Yes.
Now, if you take in more doctrine, if you increase your measure, what do you increase? That's right. You start to what?
Could be conformed to the image of his son.
You start to grow up, don't you? You start to grow up
into him.
Into him. In all things. You learn, you start to learn all things. And then you begin to grow up
in all
things. So you'll see, you know, I was thinking about this is a surefire way when you hear people, they say, I love the Lord. Mm. We talk about this all the time. I love the Lord.
We love that.
And there is no open communication. There's no way a relationship could flourish without communication. You go, if you have, you know what, you have problems, sure bet is this: you don't have good communication.
True.
No doubt.
But they find they're communicating though. Speaking to my spirit.
Yeah.
Or I'm just talking about spirit language.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You say there's no communication, but they say they're communicating. They have a relationship because he's putting things in my spirit and all of this junk.
And they are blessed and highly favored.
See, that's when you have to find out is just for a brief statement is when Paul said this: if he's a prophet or spiritual,
let him acknowledge, act with knowledge
that what Paul is saying are the commandments of the Lord. So, okay. Anyway, that's
so. I mean, you know, the communication thing.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how you think you are communicating, or what do you understand about communication.
That's what Paul said. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles as of the oracles of God. See, this. This is not left for debate. Only for those who don't understand the principle of faith. Matter of fact, when we get back to next week, Paul, we went over a phrase in Romans 1 that said, "The just
shall live by faith."
The just shall live by faith. The just. The just shall live by faith. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God. It's how you can be useful to him. It's revealed in every age. It's revealed how you can be useful from faith to faith. That is not how you think I could be useful. It is what he tells you
through his word, not audibly,
is useful, and then you believe it. Then you are communicating. How shall they preach except they be sent? That's the apostle. That's where something very foundational as faith is where most believers unplug. That's how you get it. That's how you get to the justification. Everything that God has to give you, that's how you access it, is by faith. Well, if you don't even know what that is, I know they say it all the time.
They don't know what they use that term in grace. They just totally misuse it.
That's where we have to be careful, is where we start to use terms that it is not on the same. It's not the same. Whether it's
well, faith has to have an object. It's not a force.
Most people look at it kind of blind faith in a way. Yeah.
I can't even read what you're writing there. Maybe that's
You know, it's whatever the terms are, just make sure
that you're talking about the same thing.
Right.
That's just like with communication. It's like they're thinking of like normal communication, like between me and you. Like, we're talking on the phone all the time, and we're going back and forth.
You got a level set with them.
Right.
You're communicating. Believe what
he's saying,
so you're listening to him.
That's,
and now you have a relationship.
One verse.
Sure.
Romans 1. Wait, we just started off. Paul just starts off to Romans, verse 11. This is good, man. This, verse 11, he says, "For I long to see you," to the Romans, "that I may impart unto you some..." Oh, they just checked out. Everybody checked out. some spiritual gift. What do you think that is?
Measure of faith.
What do you think that is?
Doctrine.
Let's see. "I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." That is... "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual
faith of you and me."
Now I would not
have you do
that. Yeah. But anyway, that's where he said the mutual faith both of you and me.
Mutual faith because of the doctrine.
So you communicate the mutuality is what? It's an exchange. It's an exchange. It's a communication. When Paul says, I communicated unto them that gospel, what do you think he did?
He told them.
He shared it with them. And they what?
Received it.
They saw it and they perceived it.
So it all goes back to, like you said, that you agree on the terms, but I think where the disconnect, where the disagreement is that they're still thinking that the terms from before are the same as the terms for now.
We ain't on the same page, right? We're not going to.
You know, like they're thinking that they're still supposed to be operating that way,
right?
Just like people that always read water into the word baptism.
For example, you know what? Okay, I got this one. I'll use this one. This is Philemon. He said this: I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That's Paul writing to Philemon. Now, see that? That's a small letter, but that letter is one man writing to another man. So when he's talking, you know what? That's the smallest letter he wrote. But the communication is high. That's why he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual to the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. And see, he's getting ready to ask him for a big deal. See, Onesimus, he had run away. Now Paul's getting ready to send him back. You know what? He's getting ready to send him back. And he wants him to receive him.
Mm-hmm. Profitable.
That was for you. He says, now, from one man to another man, he says, I need you to check your faith and see if it's working so you can take him back. That way, I know our communication is the same.
We're on the same page.
Because I know as from one man to another man, I know you should be operating in love. Oh, I see y'all. I'm like the old preacher. Y'all don't hear me. All right, wait, that's strike that monkey shine. Let's go. We're going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.